a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
He's on fire.
It's impossible.
Posey will defend. Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
And welcome back to the Razzball Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, JB Gilpin, here with my trusty Slim. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Got me right in the middle of taking a sip of water.
Oh, well, at least you're healthy. There's that. You're not playing for the Thunder.
it's just water today.
It is Wednesday, November 5th, 2014, and we've got obviously lots of injuries to talk about that are pretty much all on Oklahoma City. Obviously some other things going on. Some big games last night. We saw Kobe Bryant go off for 39. Talk about the big headlines and then preview some of the games that are on the big slate tonight. But I want to start with this. How come I haven't seen Brownie's peacock pictures?
Yeah, it never happened. My girlfriend knew he'd tear it up. And it wouldn't have happened.
Unfortunate. Well, that is unfortunate. Also unfortunate for both of us, neither of us got the 30-point challenge winner last night. I had Reggie Jackson, and you had Melo.
He tried. He gave me 23 attempts.
Yeah, Carmelo's looking awful. We're going to talk Carmelo a little bit later in the show. But who do you have tonight to score 30 points that isn't a top 10 NBA scorer right now?
Oh, I'll go Cousins against Denver.
I knew! That was my pick! I knew we were going to have the same pick.
Well, I have a backup.
I don't really have a backup, so.
I'll take Kevin Martin against Brooklyn.
All right. Are you sure you're okay with me stealing your Cousins?
I like that. Kevin Martin is healthy, I hope. If he gets 36 minutes, he'll put up 30. No one else on that team will.
They need his points, that's for sure. And yeah, Cousins was a top 10 NBA scorer last year. It's just 0.3 out of the top 10 right now. So he was an easy pick for me, especially going against Denver where their centers, I mean, Timofey Mozgov, is he really going to be able to D up on Cousins?
DeRozan's a good pick tonight, too.
Yeah, he is. That's going to be a good one against Boston. We've seen Boston try to run some fast game. They look like a much different team this year. A lot of fast-paced play as opposed to last year where they were like watching molasses dry, I think is the expression.
We're way ahead of ourselves already.
What, three games isn't a full sample of what's going to happen in the NBA?
No. We're way ahead of ourselves. We're talking about tonight's games. We haven't even talked about last night's games yet.
Yeah, so we'll get back to tonight's games at the end of the show. So let's start with the Lakers. They're 0-5. They're terrible. But this is a fantasy podcast, so we can talk about how Kobe Bryant put up 39 last night. How much are we buying the old Kobe there?
Oh, of course. On that many shots, what was it, 37 shots, something like that?
It's preposterous. He's averaging 24.4 shots a night. His field goal percentage is right at 40%.
Yeah, it's tough to win field goal percent with that kind of volume.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm still selling. I'm sure it's entertaining to watch, but I don't want it on my team. And he's got good value because he's putting up counting stats.
Yeah, he's having a really really good year. I mean, the health concern. I mean, that's still got to be impacting you a little bit too, right?
Yeah, but. That's why I'm selling and not buying.
Yeah.
But you can probably get somebody's second-round draft pick. I bet anybody would give up Millsap for Kobe right now.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'd certainly do that. You look at his numbers through four. Kobe's 5.2 rebounds, 3.2 assists. The assists are tiny bit down, but you'd imagine compared to his last few years, you'd expect those to come back up if I could talk. 1.6 steals, doing fine. You know, still only shooting 30% from three. That's probably not going to improve, to be honest. He's always been a 30% three-point shooter. I'm selling high as quick as I can. To the Lakers big men, how awesome is Jordan Hill?
Yeah, he's finally getting minutes. I hope he can survive it. I guess that was the question, but yeah, he looks every bit as good in the last, 15 minutes as he does in the first 15.
Yeah, and I mean, the free throw percentage, given small sample through five games, up to 78%. He's, was usually in the mid-60s the past few years. 9.2 rebounds, up to 1.6 blocks. Still isn't quite at 30 minutes a game. He's right at it, but not over. I don't know. I think he's been an awesome pick in any league you got him. While I had Elfrid Payton ranked ahead, my team needed a big man. I'm glad I held on to him in the RCL where you offered me Elfrid Payton. I almost took it. I almost did. But
yeah, I like what Elfrid Payton's doing too. But yeah, Jordan Hill is only 74% owned. It should be in the 90s. Yep. He's top 50 player right now.
Yeah, I mean, and speaking of a guy that needs to be owned in a lot more leagues, how much are you buying Ed Davis? He's keeping it up.
Yeah, it's tough for him to do that in only 20 minutes a night.
Yeah.
And it's so hard. Boozer is just going to – he's going to be so mad that they start when they bench him. Not if, when. Because it needs to happen. If they want to win anything, he has to sit.
I mean, it really does. Ed Davis had his season low in minutes at only 18.5 last night. But 4 points, 9 rebounds, no assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. I mean, he's looking great defensively. I don't know if you saw the highlight, but he blocked Goran Dragic so hard it like almost took out the ref out of bounds. It was kind of funny. I agree. I mean, he should be starting, to put up a line like that in 18.5 minutes. Carlos Boozer is so bad. Why do these NBA coaches, especially on bad teams, and we'll talk Bucks a little bit down the road.
Yeah.
Why do they continue to start these vets that just do nothing?
I guess they think that it's, if they can at least run their offense, it gives them a better chance of winning. I guess that's the rationale. Young guys tend to just do their own thing.
Ed Davis isn't exactly that young anymore. Is his sixth season? I mean, he's young because he came out only after a year or two.
I think the amount of unhappiness that Boozer would cause everyone if he were to come off the bench is a problem.
Yeah.
He was really complaining about just losing his fourth quarter minutes in Chicago last year. If he actually comes off the bench to start a game, that would be – there's no way he's going to be happy about that.
Yeah. I hate Carlos Boozer.
As a human being or in fantasy?
In fantasy. And he always, I hate the players that always yell for fouls every time they shoot. Like, he's up there. And one of my biggest pet peeves is when a dude takes a jumper or layup and yells "and one" and it's a complete brick. I feel like he does that all the time. He takes this horrible fadeaway jumper and it's like airball. "And one!" I don't know. I hate the yelly players when they're not very good. So it's the Daily Thunder injury mention time. As if you looked at the post this morning, did you see that Thunder depth chart I put up there on the post?
Yeah, it pretty much shows they can't field a team.
That is just ridiculous. Their whole team's hurt. Perry Jones knocked knees last night. Is he officially out today? I didn't look it up yet. But
I don't know if they even play today. I don't think they play today.
Oh yeah, they don't play until Friday. You're right. If he's out, what are they gonna do? They did pick up Ish Smith today as an extra guard player, given that they don't have anyone. Not really much else to say. I mean, a lot of the guys that are playing right now would be streamers anyway. You're holding probably Perry Jones for now if you can. The main thing I want to talk about is I watched a lot of OKC last night, and Reggie Jackson is just taking a beating out there. Had a great game with the double-double in points assists, but are you worried about him at all holding up through this month? I mean, he's just flying around with reckless abandon because they have no offense, and he was limping around everywhere.
Yeah, definitely hope he settles down some. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to give 15 assists or 14 assists a game. He does 8 or 9 and lets Perry Jones do 4 and 5, then they'll be fine. But, yeah, he was – it's too much. back-to-back, too. It was the second game of a back-to-back coming off an injury.
Yeah.
It was just too much.
Yeah, he has that ankle injury that kept him out until now, and then apparently he had a wrist injury, so he was shooting funky, and I don't know, I'm worried. I mean, you see the stat line, and then you see he played his minutes and is not, you know, quote-unquote hurt for the next game. I'm selling Jackson Hyatt. I mean, you're only going to get this month of huge production anyway. You know, I think I said before this game that, you know, I probably want to hold to ride this streak. I think I said that in the comments somewhere. But after watching last night, I try to get anything I could. Would you trade Reggie Jackson for Darren Collison?
Oh, yeah, I would take Collison, yeah. Sure.
And I think that's one you could swing pretty easily.
I love the minutes he's playing.
Yeah, Collison's looking great. So, who's another one in that range? I mean, you definitely would take Jeff Teague for him, but Teague's starting really hot. Would you trade Reggie Jackson for Kemba Walker?
it's a good one. That's your prototypical buy low, sell high. Is that what it's?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, I'd probably take Kemba for that.
I think there's at least
a chance he rebounds, whereas Jackson is probably going to go back to 30 minutes once everyone gets back, and the usage is going to plummet.
Even if Kemba is what he is after, you know, if he's close to what he's done in this really slow start, you'd got to think that even when all the guys come back for the Thunder, you know, Kemba's probably going to out-assist Reggie Jackson in that 30-minute bench role, even if he's only assisting for a game. So,
Yeah, for sure. Once Westbrook and Durant are back, there's no more. They only get to play with one ball, so there's no way they're giving it up. They're going to be trying to win every single game once those guys come back.
Yeah.
It's going to get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fun to watch, though. It'll be some very entertaining basketball.
Yeah, they're going to be playing for their lives, that's for sure. Speaking of playing for their lives, how worried are you about the Cavs getting blown out last night by the Blazers, and the fantasy goodness is just not there? Now, obviously, we both were pretty against most of the Cavs players this year, but are you any more worried than you were heading into the year?
Well, you figured it would take time. These guys haven't played together. So, I don't know, give it some more time. Give it 20 games. If LeBron is still doing what he's doing and Kyrie is still... Yeah, what happened last night? Did you see any of that? 17, the only 17 shots, he made, what, three?
You know, I wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't want to sound whiny, but I could only have my iPad, and you can't watch NBA TV on the League Pass. You have to watch it on NBA TV.
Oh, there you go.
Which is really annoying. So, whatever. I don't want to sound whiny, but I did not get to watch this game, and I wanted to. So, but, yeah. So, that's
yeah, I've managed to not watch a Cavs game. And with who they're playing tonight, I might have to catch that one.
Yep, they're playing your favorite team, the Jazz. Oh, so, yeah, we'll talk about that more when we preview tonight's games. But I wanted to bring this up because I put it in the article, and I didn't even get any sort of any kickback on it, which I thought, or at least I don't think. I haven't quite finished all the comments yet. But Kevin Love last night for 22-10, two assists, no steals, no blocks, hit five threes. Through the year, he has no blocks, and he had one four-steal game, but then no steals in the other two games. And let's see, seven total assists through three games. He's really just doing nothing else but scoring, rebounding, and hitting threes. It's kind of Ryan Anderson-y, isn't it?
And not doing it on a good field goal percent.
Yeah, only 40% this year. You know, he was 50% last night. But, you know, all of this is a small sample, obviously. Yeah, but
and he's currently ranked the number seven guy, you know, because his free throw percent's 92, and he's only got one turnover a game. But that rank is deceiving.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, it's looking a little Ryan Anderson-y to me, which is not a good indictment if you got Kevin Love at the end of your first round. So another guy that hopefully you didn't get at the end of your first round, because I know he did in some leagues, is Derrick Rose. Can't stay healthy. A late scratch again last night. Now, he should be okay. I think he's going to play tonight, although you never know with these late scratches, apparently. But I want to talk about Aaron Brooks. He looked really good, and he's a guy I've talked about a few times that I thought's always been an underrated player. I love that year he had in Houston back in 2009-2010. I never really just got the minutes or a fair shake after that. But looked really good last night, had 13 points and 8 assists. If Rose misses, you know, he's not with a current injury, but if he, you know, has another injury, which all Bulls fans are yelling at me for just bringing it up, I think Brooks could be this year's DJ Augustine.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. He could be better. I think he'd probably be better than DJ was last year.
That's possible. But, I mean, DJ was really good last year for a good while.
Yeah, but he was pretty limited in his what he did. His steals never got over one.
Yeah, Brooks doesn't steal either,
though.
He's
ragnoffy.
Yeah, I mean,
but Brooks should score more. DJ had a really good set. Yeah, okay. About what DJ is, that's probably what we could expect.
Yeah.
But the problem is, you know, we didn't know if Derrick Rose was going to play last night. We still don't know if he's going to play tonight.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can do right now in standard leagues or even as deep as like 14 teams. I mean,
you'd have to have him on your roster going into the game and know something right before the game starts and get him in. That's too difficult.
Yeah, but I mean, if you were in maybe 16 or deeper and there's another Rose question mark injury where, you know, he's not sure if he's going to suit up, I'd try to have Aaron Brooks filter
me. Yeah, it's not bad.
But
how about, so I'm going to write about this guy. How about Shabazz Napier? In a deep 16-team league, who would you rather have?
That's a good one.
They both have starting upside.
Yeah, I'd probably take Brooks, but it's close. I'm so anti-Miami point guards because I hate how you guys are running that rotation.
It's ugly.
And
nobody gets 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Nobody.
And, I mean, I think Rose is obviously more question mark with injury issues than Cole or Chalmers. So, I'd probably go Brooks.
Yeah. So. It probably has more immediate return.
Yeah.
And Napier probably has more upside for later in the season.
Mm-hmm. So, speaking of quote-unquote bench point guards, but this one being awesome, how about yeah. our Isaiah Thomas love?
Yeah.
He was the guy we talked about that was getting way undervalued when Yahoo did their re-rankings. Did they put him in the hundreds? He was at like 9,900 or something.
Yeah, I think he was 99.
Yeah.
Him at 99 and Collison at 111. We both talked so much crap about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we're looking smart there.
Yeah. Awesome game last night. 22-3-9-3-0. Has had two straight games of no turnovers. So he's had four turnovers through four games. Hitting threes, you know, getting a sit. You know, he's going to have some ebbs and flows. 22-9, this is probably going to be, you know, towards one of his better games of the year. Did play 31 minutes, which was a season high as well. But, man, he's looking good and an amazing value for where you had to get him.
Yeah, that team is so good, though. That's the tough part. You never know who's going to be hot for that night. Like, last night it was Gerald Green.
Yeah, Gerald Green.
But Isaiah still got his, so, you know?
Yeah. Last night it was Eric Bledsoe who had the low game, but his first three were fine. So, I mean, you're going to have just, like I said, some ebbs and flows with this team, but I think you're feeling good if you drafted almost any of the Suns where you had them. Maybe not Dragic yet, but I'm still feeling pretty good with him.
You buying Bledsoe?
If anyone's, you know, selling low, I'd pick him up.
I don't think anybody's selling too low right this second. I mean, would you give a top 50 player for it?
No, probably not.
Okay.
So.
You'd give Kobe?
Nah, I'd hold Kobe.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So. I just think there's too much volume there for Kobe right now.
So. Yeah, the counting stats are kind of stupid.
Yeah. So. So what else? What else you thinking's going on through this past week?
Oh, Jeremy Lin. I don't know. I'm worried there. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it is either. It's not looking good. And I think one of the concerns was Kobe does not seem to gel well with point guards, and Jeremy Lin's not a particularly great point guard as it is. So, yeah.
Yeah, so Lin or like Kemba Walker, who would you take?
Oh, I'm taking Kemba.
All right, how about Lin and Elford?
I'll take Elford. I think I had Elford ranked, you know, two or three ahead of Lynn. They're right there, but I think I had Elford ahead heading into the year.
I mean, so he's all the way down to, like, a Trey Burke?
I think I had Elford in, like, the 80s, and then Lynn a couple below in the 80s, and I had Burke way in the, like, 120s. I'd rather have Lynn over Burke. I'm not a big Burke fan.
Okay, so you still think Lynn's going to be just about top 100 return?
Yeah, somewhere around there. I mean, he did have 18 points last night. You know, the free throw percentage is high volume, and he's become a really good free throw shooter that's improved the past 2 years.
Yeah. I hate that assist to turnover ratio.
Yeah, I mean, the turnovers are going to be really ugly and tough to swallow, but like I said, I think you make up a little bit of that with the free throws.
Okay, how about who else is doing not too good? How about Lance Stevenson? You buying him?
Oh, Lance Stevenson is terrible. Oh, what are the Hornets doing?
Is it going to get better?
A little bit. I mean, I don't think I'm looking up right now. His field goal percentage is like 5.
It's 273.
I was pretty close. Yeah, and I mean, he's 0 for 4 for threes this year, you know, made over a three a game last year, so you'd expect him to make a three at some point this season. the turnovers are terrible, the steals aren't great, but they never were before. I mean, he's worth having as one of your last roster guys, but I'm not, you know, buying or selling him, really.
All right, if you had Stevenson, would you go after, like, a Kevin Martin?
I'd rather have Martin, unless I had a dire need for out-of-position rebounds. That's about all I can say for, I mean, the out-of-position rebounds assist, but, I mean, that's really all Stevenson does, is rebounds and assists, and then he is a nothing everywhere else. I'd rather have Martin.
All right. It's just that injury risk for Martin is still there.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so much upside there with, you know, Kevin Love gone, obviously, and they just need points. That last Timberwolves game, yeah, they lost, where Rubio had like 14 assists, yeah, and Martin had the 30-plus game, and I think that's what the Timberwolves need to be going for. So I think he's going to get a ton of shots.
Yeah, I was looking at some of these names around the same time Stevenson was drafted, and man, if you said no to Stevenson and said yes to Jimmy Butler, you're looking really smart.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think I had Butler. I don't have my ranks in front of me, but I'm pretty sure I had Butler in like the 60s or 70s and Stevenson in the 80s. So I definitely would have taken Butler. Love the Butler. He's a JB. You gotta draft all the right. JBs real high.
He's your brother. Brother from another mother.
I wish.
So, do you like him or Tyreek? Risk with both.
I'll take Butler because, as I mentioned in today's article, Tyreek's, you know, he's hitting the near triple doubles game in, game out, but he's really doing almost nothing else for you across the board. So, yeah, I'll take Butler. I mean, he's hitting every cat his first two games. He's scoring just as much. I'll take Butler. That free throw volume is crazy right now. 9 for 13.
Yeah, the percentage isn't there, but he's fine. It will be.
Yeah, I mean, he's an 80% free throw shooter in his career. I mean,
he's only played 2 games.
Yeah, so it's small sample, but, and, you know.
I mean, so like Ariza or Wesley Matthews, is he up to those guys yet?
No. I mean, you know I love Ariza. I was big on him coming into the year, and he's looking great. And then you know I like Wesley Matthews, too, for those percents and everything. Not quite up to those guys, but in the conversation, in that tier, if you will.
That's a good one to go after if you're looking for a wing. He's, you know, you can get him cheaper, but he's about the same kind of production.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, I like the Butler.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Elford. He looked really good last game, and even though those shots aren't falling, well, they're not really shots. They're, you know, different types of layups and. Runners and things like that, even though those aren't falling, he looks good.
He does look good. I caught a tiny bit of the end of the game against the Bulls last night. Made a couple rookie mistakes, but yeah, I think he's definitely making us look pretty good for having him pretty high.
Yeah, I'm trying to find someone to compare him to, but, you know, just anybody that would be, you know, around his rank doesn't come close to those assists.
Yeah, he's had 7 assists or more all 4 games.
And that's the first 4 games of his career. I mean, yeah. I imagine that's the low end.
And he's playing with his starting guard next to him as Evan Fournier. I mean, he's getting all these assists with terrible people around him. Well, Tobias helps, though. Gotta love Tobias.
So you're still taking him over Trey Burke, right?
Oh, yeah, by far.
And obviously, Brandon Jennings doesn't make any of these conversations.
No, Brandon Jennings is terrible. I'd rather have Jennings over Burke, probably, but that's about it.
Okay. If I had Jennings, I'd be selling him to anyone that would take him off my hands.
Yeah, me too. Trying to think of some good comps for Elfrid. I mean, you're obviously taking Collison over Elfrid.
Yeah. Whoever you would take over Elfrid, about the same value, you'd be losing assists.
Yeah, and what's turning out to be true is I remember in the first RCL, I took him at 75th, and I was like, at the, you know, first reaction was it might have been a reach, but then it... He was really the last point guard that had any assist upside that late, and it's looking like that's exactly how it turned out. We can't find anyone to really, you know, comp him to. He's kind of that very last decent starting point guard.
Yeah, I mean, we tried with Jameer Nelson, but, man, that didn't work.
Yeah, that was a swing and miss by me. I thought Nelson would groove with that offense a lot better. Yeah, like Elfrid, if you have him, definitely not selling high. I think this is about what he is.
All right, we ready to have that dreaded Melo talk? Just sit you down, teach you a thing or two about fantasy basketball. Now, why the triangle offense is not a good thing.
It sounds like you're sitting me down for the dreaded sex talk, and I'm 12. Yeah.
You take a Phil Jackson and you mix in a... Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. Triangle offense not going so hot. What is Carmelo shooting? Oh, his field goal percentage isn't bad at 45%, but he's under 20 shots, 18.8 a game.
He's at 3 threes a game, almost half what he was doing the past 2 years.
Yeah. You know, his field goal, I mean, all of this is small sample, obvious caveat, but he's under 70% free throw shooting. You imagine that's going to have to change. But the big thing for me is down to 3.5 rebounds. And that was my big knock against him, is that I did not think his 8.1 rebounds last year, that was a career high, he was going to get close to that again.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's playing almost all his minutes right now at small forward, whereas last year he was playing a lot of power forward.
Yeah.
So yeah, that completely makes sense. And the assists going up a tick makes sense, but not when it's not okay when the turnovers are going up right along with it.
Yeah. And I mean, it was marginal, but his 0.7 blocks was a career high last year as well. Doesn't have a block this year. And there's a lot of little things going on with you know, like you said, moving him to small forward, and I think having a guy, you know, last year Tyson Chandler was hurt for a good bit, that helped his rebounds. This year, you know, they're mixing and matching with Amare and D'Alembert, and Bargnani's going to come back. They have a, you know, they're not great big men, but big men to actually play. So, I don't know. Are you selling Melo if you can?
Yeah, if I can get a first round pick, if I can get, like, you know, Wall or Ibaka for him, absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, going to have to find some points somewhere, but I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Everything else just gets so much easier.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think if you can sell him for draft day value, I'd certainly be doing it as well. Do you think Calderon will help at all? I mean, I know the triangle offense doesn't really rely on, you know, point guard doing that much, but I think that's one thing that you could maybe say in your trade offer is, like, when Calderon's going to get back, he'll be better. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're hoping they just look at the name value, I think, when you offer Melo.
I don't think you need to. I've always found that in trades, if you send a trade and put a little note in there about, like, why it's good for the other team, it makes you sound like a sleazeball.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I usually put either nothing in my opening offer, or I say something and I'll say, you know, I'll offer a trade and I'll say, oh, I also like this guy or this guy that you got.
Yeah.
I'll say something like that. But other than that, no. You're better off just leaving that alone.
Yeah, I agree.
No one wants you to tell them how to run their team.
Yeah, and I mean, the only times I might do it is when I'm like, doing kind of stemming off what you said is like, I also like these guys on your team willing to you know, counter offer or something, you know. But, yeah, not trying to tell people that their guys are going up or down, trying to swindle them, so.
So who's ranked about the same? You would take Klay Thompson for Carmelo, right?
Oh, for sure.
And Klay's played really well. I don't really know. Is he going to be value at, like, the third round?
He might, but, I mean, I do not buy he's going to be a 58% field goal shooter this year. He's not going to hit 46% of his threes.
Is he going to take 7 free throws a game?
Probably not, but, I mean, you look at these early numbers. I mean, do you really think Steph Curry is going to shoot 27% from three this year? I mean, obviously he's going to heat up, and then that's going to eat into Thompson's numbers when Thompson gets cold. So,
yeah. No, it's just funny to talk about Klay Thompson like he's, you know, a first rounder.
Yeah, I agree. The Klay Thompson lovers, I'm surprised they haven't come out with their pitchforks and yelled at us yet. So.
Well, they didn't win their first week. They really don't have much to say.
Yeah.
I mean, you got your threes, you got your points, but after that, you didn't get a whole lot.
That's why you thragging off.
Ugh, Anthony Davis.
He's ridiculous.
Sorry, I was just looking at numbers. And
I know. His numbers are video game
it's
numbers.
It's mesmerizing.
Yeah.
I don't have him anywhere. It's very sad.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough when he's, you know, our consensus number one, and then with all the injuries going on. I mean, the highest draft pick I had this year was 4th, and I took Stephen Curry, and that was one of the early drafts. So I lucked out that it was before Durant broke his foot. So, yeah, I never had a high pick.
Yeah, my highest was Harden at 6, I think.
Yeah, actually, that was a 3rd overall pick, because I remember it went Durant, then Brow, then Curry, and I was really hoping Brow would fall to 3. But he did not. So, speaking of Thragnoth guys, Channing Frye is
a pretty good game he had.
Looking like the Thragnoth of old, doing almost the rainbow line, 9-7-3-0-1-2. Shot 3 of 4, all of them were 3 balls. 36 minutes?
Yeah, back-to-back with 30. Well, not back-to-back games, but not back-to-back nights, but back-to-back games.
Yeah.
And he gets Philly tonight.
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, obviously, I don't think he's going to score 30 points, but yeah. This would be a good opportunity for him to have a good game. And I think his rainbow line upside is sometimes a little undervalued. This late in his career, I didn't know if it would translate, but the past 4 seasons, he's been, he's been right around a steal and a block a game, averaging through the past 4 seasons, you know, right there. So it's something he could do, and if he's gonna get a couple of those counting stats along with the threes, and you get the out of position factor, maybe.
I don't think he scores 20 anymore. I think those days are behind him.
Oh, for sure, me too.
So I think his average will probably sit around that 10-point mark.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Over 2 threes a game, that's completely acceptable.
Yeah, it's looking like maybe the injury issues he had made us undersell him a little bit. I still worry a little bit about age injuries and how much they're going to tank and play like Aaron Gordon a lot of minutes in the second half. So
yeah, and I don't think O'Quinn was active this game.
Yeah, O'Quinn is still got the ankle issue. So give the boy some Jameson. Get him healthy. hopefully we see O'Quinn soon. I love O'Quinn.
He's a fun player. My favorite Irishman.
He's a fun player to watch. All right, so taking a look at the games tonight, I want to start with where we kind of teased this at the beginning, Toronto at Boston. A guy that I've always thought is a really underrated player for what he can do when he gets minutes is Patrick Patterson. Last night, 14-8, 2-2-1. Almost the rainbow line, shot only 5 of 9, so really efficient, 2 for 2 for deep, 2 of 2 free throws. Amir Johnson's out with ankle injury. Valanciunas is now doubtful with hand and face issues. Apparently got in a bar fight. I don't know. But, yeah, Patterson, big minutes tonight. He's a guy to stream.
Yeah, I guess so. I thought about that in that Miami game, the game before, where we only got 15 minutes because Amir Johnson was out, and that did not work out.
Mm-hmm.
It could go either way.
Yeah, I think since he had the big game last night, you know, I'll buy him for having big minutes in a big game. I mean, no Valanciunas. I mean, they're just going to be so thin up front. I mean, they're going to have to play Steamsma and Hansborough center minutes.
Yeah, they're going against Sullinger and Olynyk, so I'm not exactly worried about him getting pushed around.
Yeah, me either, but just with the injury factor, I think Patterson's going to play a lot. Oh, we have our teams playing tonight. Miami at Charlotte. Who's going to win?
Are you going to score over? Are you going to shoot over 40%?
No. The Hornets are terrible. You guys are going to win by 30. So
yeah, I would have to say that he'll probably win that game.
The Hornets are.
Has MKG been brought back yet?
No, he's still questionable. Man. So that's a guy I'm keeping an eye on. Hopefully he'll play. I could see him having a really good game against Lou Waldang, you know, who's been terrible. But yeah, the Hornets are 1-3, and their one win was when they were down 24 to the Bucks. I mean, this easily could be an 0-4 team with a loss to the Bucks.
Yeah, they're probably not the only team that says my only win is against the Bucks.
Yeah. Although the Bucks are 2-2. Break up the Bucks this year.
Maybe they are the only team. Yeah, well.
Their wins are against the Sixers and Pacers.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Let's see what else is going on tonight. We got the Pistons hosting the Knicks. I don't know. I just have a little feeling that KCP, this is going to be a good night for him. The field goal percentage is starting to come around.
Is it in Madison Square Garden? I think that could help.
No, it's in Murder Hills. I mean, Auburn Hills.
Oh, God. All right.
I like KCP to bounce back a little bit. And, man, you cannot feel good if you're playing Brandon Jennings, because he could play 30-plus minutes and have a decent game, or he could play 15, and we see DJ Augustine for 30.
Yeah, which means you can't trust DJ Augustine either.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hating that.
So, that's a bad
I wish he'd just pick somebody and go with it.
And whichever point guard plays a lot, it's probably going to be a good game, because Shane Larkin, you know, is a guy that I think is decent in deep leagues for steals, but is not a great NBA player.
So he's got some talent.
Whatever point guard plays for Detroit should have a decent game if any of them get over 30 minutes.
But you can't play one of them, and you can't play both of them. So, yeah, there's that.
Can't live with them, and can't. I don't know where I was going with that. Kawhi Leonard. I the Spurs. This is only the Spurs' third game, right? Yeah, they're 1-1. So Kawhi's got a good chance to bounce back. He's had some good time to recover from his eye issues. I think Kawhi Leonard has a big game with Atlanta going into San Antonio.
It's a good matchup. He's got DeMar Carroll on him.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on him bouncing back, but that should be a good game.
I just have a feeling that he's going to get a lot of usage. They're going to want to get him involved and going after a big layoff since their last game. So, you know, got a lot of Ben Stein's eye drops. Clear eyes are awesome. He's ready to go. And then something we teased this early in the show as well, Cleveland going at Utah. Man, I don't know what Cleveland's going to have to do, but if they lose this game, that's when that'd be hilarious. I'm so cheering for the Jazz in this game.
Yeah, I expect Favors to have his way.
Yeah, Favors versus Love, though, that should be an interesting matchup.
I expect Burks to have 20 points as he, you know, no one can stop him at the rim.
Uh-huh. Be good.
Yeah, I'm wondering what the line is on this game.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's probably pretty favorable for the Cavs. I don't know. I mean, for the Cleveland side of the ball, if your main guys, Kyrie and LeBron and Love, all have bad games in this one too, you got to not feel too great. I know you said give them 20 games, but I'm not feeling too good on that one.
Yeah, I'm not. It's pretty early.
Yeah, it still is
early. They'll all get theirs eventually, but like we thought from the very beginning, it's going to be less.
Yeah.
And I think what Love's doing right now is pretty much what we can expect.
Yeah.
He's going to show a little better percent, maybe get up to the 20, 21 points. But I think that's about as high as it's going to get.
Yeah, me too. So.
But I definitely expect LeBron to be better.
Yeah, and he will be.
Kyrie's shot will fall.
Yeah, he's not going to shoot three for 17 like he did last night very often. So
now Waiters is a guy that I wouldn't go anywhere near.
Yeah, he's a guy that we had ranked really low. We had him out of the top 150. So that was a guy I wasn't drafting anyway.
Yeah, that was the preseason bump that he never should have gotten.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we had the battle of the terrible power forwards that only can score and rebound in Cantor versus Tristan Thompson.
Oh, nice. God.
They both get double-doubles and have no other stats. You can see that happening.
Yep, they're going to flat-footed shoot and block each other. It'll be amazing.
Oh, and Trevor Booker is a guy that I'm still interested in. He's a guy to get a couple out-of-position threes, play 28 minutes. You know, if you're hurting for an out-of-position threes guy, for a guy that might go, you know, 13-8 or something like that, I could see Booker doing that tonight. So... I think that's going to do it for us. If you're expecting DraftKings, we are moving the DraftKings Razzball only contest to Friday. So we're going to talk DraftKings tomorrow. And so we'll catch you then. Can you believe it's only been a week? It feels like so much has gone on, and it's only been 1 week worth of NBA action.
We started this season in April.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, we've been working on this for a while. So, but it's good. It's good to have real action to talk about and real things to change our perspective.
Yeah, especially one of these full slates where you can just flip in between the games. Never have to watch a commercial.
Yeah, I'm gonna be.
This is one of those good nights. I like Wednesday nights.
I'm gonna be so ADD. Yeah, so ADD tonight. So, be sure to set your lineups, watch your hoops, root on your teams, root on your players, and we'll catch you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you tomorrow, Slim.
Alrighty, adios.